New word of the day. One that's kind of close to the one that we looked at last week, which doesn't hurt a bit because there's a lot of things and themes in the Word of God that are close together. Close but different. And the word that we're going to use for today is regeneration. Ever hear that? Regeneration. A doctrinal word. A very full and rich word. And I would say to you this morning that the word regeneration and the idea and the concept that is contained in it, that regeneration is the hinge of the gospel. It doesn't get absorbed into other things. It is the hinge between the before life and the afterlife of Christ. It's the actual hinge of everything. Regeneration is this. It is God the Holy Spirit in a supernatural way. Not natural, supernatural. In a supernatural way, working in the heart of men, and by His operation there in the heart of man, because of that operation, those men become regenerate men. Regeneration, the hinge of the gospel. Turn over to John chapter 3. This is a very, very familiar passage. And I just want to use it to make sure that we drive the point home. I'm going to look at kind of an illustration here to kind of get things rolling with this. And just the simplicity. Well, I want to make this as simple as we possibly can today. Regeneration. In John chapter 3, looking at the third verse here, Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, very important phrase that we have here. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is a very vitally important statement that is made there. Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and gives it to him again. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The idea of regeneration, which is specifically named in other parts of Scripture, if you'll take a look at Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 in there, Scripture tells us that not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, and then moves on to talk about us being redeemed and saved. But regeneration, good Bible word, used several times in the King James here, but that is what this is talking about. This is talking about regeneration here. This idea and concept of being born again is the concept of regeneration here in Scripture. And this is a beautiful description of the rebirth, of the second birth, of regeneration here in John chapter 3. Now let me give you a supposition. Let me give you a let's suppose something. Let's imagine something for a moment if we can. And in imagining this scenario, I want to come to the bottom ground. I want to come to the foundation. I want to come to the footer of what we mean about being born again or being regenerated here this morning. Suppose that a law was enacted here in these United States. A law, unalterable law, was enacted that said that only those that are born on our shores Only those that are born within the boundaries of the United States of America would have protections under the law or have any privilege of citizenship. If there were a law that were enacted to that end that had those stipulations in it, let's suppose that to our shores came an Aborigine out of Australia. That Aborigine came to the shore here and requested citizenship at the gate to enter in and become a citizen here. Knowing that the rule is unalterable, knowing that the rule is written and that it is not to be changed in any way. You have to be born here to have the privilege of being a citizen, to have protections under the law, and to be a part of this great country. Suppose that that Aborigine comes and says, I'll change my name. I'll change my name from what it is to some type of Christian name if you'll let me come and be a part of the United States. If you'll let me have citizenship. I'll change my name. I won't anybody longer be called by my native Aborigine name of Chase's Kangaroos. I'll give up Chase's Kangaroos, and I'll be called John. I'll be called something Christian if you'll let me come in and be a part of these United States. Call me John, if you will. And the gatekeeper would ask, well, are you American bred and born? And the Aborigine would have to say, well, I'm not. And the gatekeeper could say, well, then you can call yourself whatever you want to. You can call yourself whatever you want to. You just pick anything you want to. You're not born here. You're not going to be granted any privileges here. You can call yourself by any name that you choose. You can call yourself Christian name. You can call yourself a Mohammedan name. You can call yourself by any name under the sun. I don't care what you call yourself. If you're not born here, you're not coming here and getting privileges like everybody else here on these shores. So listen up, you can call yourself whatever you want. Now think about this. Because you don't chase kangaroos, or because you have a name that is, because you name the name of Christ, because you don't worship sticks, because you don't live in a mud hut, as a heathen does, because you've been exposed to Christ, because you've even profess Christianity, that doesn't mean anything unless you've been born again. It don't mean nothing. You can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. And just because you're a pretty good person and do this or that or the other, I mean, that's great. You can call yourself by any name that you want to call yourself by here this morning. You can name the name of Jesus. You can even profess it here. But it's not enough. You must be born again. That's what it says. You must be born again. You weren't born here, you weren't reborn, you won't be granted privileges. The Aborigine says, well, listen. He says, I'll put on clothes. And I'll dress like everybody else dresses. I'll wear what everybody here wears. I'll put on shoes. I'll not walk around America barefooted. I'll put on shoes. I'll dress like everybody dresses. I'll cut my hair. I'll make it nice and sharp and clean on the corners. I'll do what everybody else does. I'll put away my spear, and I'll put on what you wear, and I'll perfume my body just like you perfume your body. I'll fit in. I'll just fit in with everybody there in America. Nobody's going to notice me. I won't stick out in any way. I'll just blend in to the way that everybody else is. But the answer comes back that the gates are still shut. The gates are still shut because the law requires a person to be born here to come here. What he calls himself and how he dresses and what he puts on isn't going to get him in. Now let's think about that for just a minute. You can call yourself what you like. You can dress the part. You can put your shoes on and not clip your toenails in the worship house. You can do these things. You can blend in. You can look like everybody else. You can sound like everybody else. You can act like everybody else. Dress the part. Adopt Christian manners. Adopt Christian ways. Clean up. Attend religiously. But entrance to the kingdom of heaven depends upon you being born again. It depends upon you being regenerated. The keeper says, no, that won't work. I can't look the other way. It's unalterable. The aborigine says, well, I'll not just change my name and I'll not just adopt the dress, but I'll learn the language. I'll learn the language of these United States. I'll learn the language that you speak. I'll not speak my old language anymore. I'll learn your language better than you know it. I'll learn every vowel. I'll learn every consonant. I'll make every sound properly, enunciate clearly. I'll speak it better than anybody that even lives in the United States. I'll speak it better than them. Nobody will ever know that I'm not from around here. Will you let me in then? And the keeper says, no. You're not going to be admitted unless you're born in this country. I've told you three times already. You're not going to be admitted unless you're born in this country. There are so many in our churches this morning. So many in our churches across this great land here this morning that talk just like Christians, that look just like Christians, that act just like Christians, that behave just like Christians, that clean up real good just like Christians clean up. Folks that have studied the walk, folks that have studied the talk for so long that they've perfected it at least outwardly. You can even tell that others haven't got it because you perfected it so good. They're members, they're baptized, taking the Lord's Supper, taught, served in local churches. All that a Christian, you could ask a Christian to be, or so it seems. Except that they are not born again, not regenerated. It amazes me how close a man can get to being a Christian and yet not be born again and be shut out of heaven as a result of it. That's what it says. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's an absolute and unalterable law. A law that cannot be changed. A law that will not be changed no matter who you are, where you're from, or how you act. It's not going to be changed. It's an unalterable law. You must be born again. Marvel not that he said this. You have to be. There's no other way. It is a must. You can't skip that part and get the act right. You can't skip that part and get the language right. You can't skip that part and dress the right way to make it happen. It doesn't work that way. You have to be born again. A man cannot be regenerated by his own effort. He cannot be regenerated by his own power. A man can reform himself. And a man ought to. A man ought to change his habits. A man ought to change the way he goes about things. A man ought to change the change the vices that he has in his life. A man ought to go about reform. He ought to change the lust that he has in his life. But no man can make himself be born of God. You just can't do that. That's plainly beyond our power to do. Unless a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The best we can do will never reach that point. It will never reach that point of bringing us to a rebirth in the kingdom of God. In the salvation of every person saved, there comes a point where a spiritually dead person is quickened. That's a good Bible term as well. Quickened, made alive. You ever pull that little piece of skin on your fingernail? The one right here in the back part of it? Little tag that sticks up, and you grab hold of that thing and rip it up. And what happens? At some point, it gets to something that's living. Huh? And when it gets to that living part right there, blood swells up in that thing, and you go, wow, I shouldn't have done that. That's quickened, made alive. Come to the place where something living and vibrant is there. It was kind of dead up to a point, but boy, when it gets to the live part, you know it. And if you go real slow, you can stop before you get too deep. But if you rip that thing, buddy, you can get way into the quick with all of that. Quickened, to be quickened. There comes a point when every spiritually dead person is quickened if there's a salvation experience in that life. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about being regenerated, born again, quickened. The spiritually dead is made alive by God, by the power of God. It's only God's work that can do that. The hard sinner, whether they be 5 years old or 95 years old, that hard sinner is made alive, is regenerated, whether that his conscience has to be pricked. He has to be brought to the place of understanding lostness, of understanding separateness from a holy and righteous God. Has to be brought to the place to where there's no hope. Whether they be 5 or 95, you don't give a different presentation to one that's 5 or one that's 95. Now you might use different terms, but you better use the whole gospel. You better use the whole story. You don't give sugar to an already addicted 5-year-old. All right? The same gospel is the same gospel for everybody. You don't tone it down. You don't dumb it down. You might use terms that are easier to understand. I don't try to use terms that are hard to understand for somebody that's 95. And the same terms will work for somebody that's 5. I guarantee you on that deal right there. Hard sinner, 5 or 95, has his conscience made tender, and he cast himself down powerless, and he cast himself down helpless, helpless, helpless at the feet of Jesus Christ. This is salvation. This is regeneration. This is being born again. You can't skip steps with all of this. There has to be a divine working. There has to be a miraculous operation in the heart of a man. Not something that you can put there on your own. That would be natural. That would not be supernatural. Natural does not get you born again. There must be supernatural to have regeneration take place in your life. And the change that comes is radical. The change that comes in an individual that has this supernatural work take place in their life is a radical change in that life. You know, we get the idea sometimes that one is saved out of this gross and immoral stuff, and they have this humongous testimony about, man, and what generally happens is they want to go on and on and on and on and on about what they were. And then I got saved, and now life is really good for me. And the presentation is closed at that point, and everybody goes back to, wow, look what they came out of. Look at the mess that God saved them out of. Wow, what a radical transformation. The guy's preaching, and look how he used to act. Oh, wow. Radical. There's not a 5-year-old alive that hasn't received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior that hasn't had a radical transformation that took place in their life because they were just as rank a sinner as the one with the extraordinary testimony that comes and stands on the platform. You hear me? Well, I don't have a great big testimony. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Every one of you, if you've come to the place of regeneration and being born again, you have a humongous testimony. Because you were a no good, dirty, rotten sinner, just like the one that stands up and talks about their past life. The change is radical. And the new birth gives us a new nature. My brother touched on it here in the opening remarks, in the opening part of the service tonight. This is, when we're talking about regeneration, this is not just justification, okay? It's not just justification. Justification is an element. Justification, one that was a sinner is declared righteous. That's just one element, one piece, one segment of what we're talking about here, okay? Justification is not regeneration. Redemption is not regeneration. Being bought back out of the marketplace of sin, it's an element of it. It's an element. It's a precursor. It's a piece. It's an overarching part of some of this. It's not regeneration. Adoption is not regeneration. Conversion and the steps of repentance and faith in there are parts of it. It is a part of regeneration, but it's not regeneration. Conversion doesn't go as far as regeneration does, you see. It's not the same. Regeneration is a real change in you. A new birth. Being reborn. Regeneration is a real change that takes place. Radical new transformation in each and every life. How many in here know 2 Corinthians 5:17? Man, that's one of the cornerstones, right? You memorize that when you first get saved because it has so much meaning to you. What does it say? Therefore. He's a... There it is. There it is. That's one of those corner turning things right there. After you get saved, you want to know what happened to you. There's an explanation of what took place when you were born again, when you're regenerated. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become brand new, brand spanking new to this guy, to this gal. Martin Luther is attributed as having said this particular statement right here. And it's an attention grabber, I got to tell you, this statement here. I looked around and looked it up some. I couldn't find that it was, you know, ironclad that it came from Martin Luther. But it'll get your attention. Let me give you the statement. It is said that he said this: Christians are snow-covered dung. Think of the imagery that you have there for just a moment, if you will. Christians are snow-covered dung. Now that might be a really good picture of justification. Huh? Might be an excellent picture of justification. Huh? One that is something is declared not something. Huh? But it's a poor picture of regeneration. Really poor picture of regeneration. I don't recommend something like that as an illustration towards salvation. Because it doesn't go to the place where all of salvation goes. Salvation is so complicated. I don't even know how I got there. It's too complicated. And yet, the simplicity of it is such that any man can be saved. There ain't nobody living, dead, walking, traveling along this old life's pathway apart from Jesus Christ that can explain to you salvation. It can't be done. In all of the facets and all the pieces and all the makeup of this thing, it is mind-boggling. I can go so far and then I get lost in the mist. Drop breadcrumbs and I can't find my way back. So complex and yet so easy. Yet so easy at the same time. We'll not gain access to heaven by any merit of our own. But a transformation started in us when we were born again that will be completed in glory. Philippians chapter 1, verse 16, remember that? It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When you're born again, something started in you there. Regeneration, there was something started there. We're not going to realize the completion of it until we get to glory. But between now and then, there is growth that needs to transpire. There is growing that has to take place. Hence the term born again. A beginning, a start, a fresh start. And from that fresh start, God putting something there and beginning afresh and new in us, be confident of that. We can be confident that He started something fresh and new there, and that something fresh and new is to continue on till we get to glory, that we're to learn and that we're to grow and we're to see and we're to obey and we're to move along this continuum. Which also proves that we got started. Hello? Which also proves, as we move along this continuum, it is proof that something began over here. If in this process you are not progressing or caring to progress and such as that, that may speak volumes about what took place over there or didn't take place over here. Oh, complicated. How complicated is this whole thing? Huh? What is not started by Him in the beginning? What is not started by Him will not and cannot be completed there. Because if it wasn't started when you get here and say, excuse me, I'd like to come in and be a citizen over there. And the gatekeeper says, well, were you born here? Were you born here? It's the birth. It's all about that. In order to prove your citizenship, in order to have citizenship, there has to be a birth that takes place. For something to end, it has to have a start. For something to continue, it has to start somewhere. There has to be a beginning to this thing. Regeneration, being born again, the proof of that is that there is fruit. Huh? John talks to us about that as well in the 15th chapter. He talks about there being fruit along this pathway. And if there is not fruit, and fruit is a sign of regeneration, and there is no fruit, then maybe there's no regeneration. Faith and repentance and obedience, these are fruit.
Those are fruit for regenerate ones. Faith and repentance and obedience. It's where that new nature and that new beginning come in. We go from faith to faith, according to Hebrews. Faith builds faith. And when this faith is realized and more faith is generated and things move along in that continuum there. Regeneration shows us when we're failing, when we're not measuring up, when we're not acting the way that we should, and repentance is the order of the day. If there's no faith that's building, if there's no repentance that is repeated, if there is no obedience to the things of Christ, then I can say to you, man, you better check up because there might be something missing right here. Regeneration, the new birth. You walk like one, you act like one, you smell like one, you attend like one, you serve like one, you preach like one, you got all these like ones except you missed one. And when you miss one, there's no fruit. And what has not started cannot be ended over here. Isn't that amazing? Regeneration bears fruit. Faith, repentance, obedience. A new creature will have a new desire. A new creature will have a new bent. A new creature will have a new focus. He'll be moving towards faith. He'll be moving towards repentance and obedience towards the Lord Jesus Christ. If faith and repentance and obedience toward and to the things of God are in short supply in your life, then what has changed in you? What has changed? Has there been a transformation? What old has passed away, if that's the case? What exactly has become new, if that's the case? A new birth makes a new life possible. There is no possibility of a new life without a beginning, without a new birth. Regeneration is what makes sanctification, which we'll look at next week. Regeneration is what makes sanctification, is what makes holiness possible. Being a new creature in Christ makes it possible to live a Christian life, to live the Christ life, to grow in Christ Jesus. Let me give you another one of those cornerstone early on verses that everybody that's born again, regenerated, ought to learn. This is one that we went through in our monumental verses, those big verses that we talked about in Scripture here a year and a half ago. This is one of them. If you've not committed this one to memory, you ought to. Galatians 2:20. This is an expansion of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Those two dovetail together and they explain each other. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Galatians 2:20. Go with me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is 2 Corinthians 5:17 explained. And vice versa. There were commentaries on each other there. They're saying the same thing and they're saying it in a different way. I'm crucified with Christ. The old is gone. The old is passed away. The old is not any longer an issue. It's not any longer anything that is to dominate and control my life. I am crucified with Christ. The old is passed away. The old is gone. Nevertheless, I live. All things are become new. See how they explain each other in all of that? This new life is a life of faith. It's also, let me put this out there, it's also lived in the body. That's a revelation, isn't it? This new life is a life of faith, but it's lived in a body. And this body gets sick, and this body gets weak, and this body gets tempted, and this body will eventually die. This new life is a life of faith, but it's lived in the body. Regeneration doesn't change who you are. Let me explain that a little bit. We talk about getting a new nature, but it's not talking about us changing who we are. It doesn't change. I mean, the day after I got saved, my eyes were still blue. I didn't get an inch taller. I'm still living in this body. I have a new nature in there, but it did not eradicate who I am. Who I am and who I was is still who I am. My temperament, all of these things, it didn't change all of that, but it did change my usefulness. It changed my usefulness, the fact of being born again. Regeneration doesn't change who you are. You are uniquely you. And the new birth doesn't violate who God created you to be. Huh? He won't violate that. He created you in the beginning. He's not going to violate what He created and how He created you to be. Let me explain it this way as best I can. Shy sinners become shy Christians. Isn't that right? Extroverted, life of the party sinners become extroverted, life of the party Christians. Didn't change who you are. You just changed your usefulness in all of that. An introverted Rock Springsite is still an introverted pastor. A guy that didn't like crowds got saved, and the guy don't like crowds still. The new life doesn't violate who God created you to be. It doesn't make you somebody else. Regeneration doesn't make you somebody else. It just moves you in a new direction. Moves you along a new and different path. You're made new, but you're still you. Engineers. Detail people. Pay attention to the small things. Working formulas. Find comfort in the fact that some things don't change, that variables arrive at the same place that they're supposed to arrive at. Engineers. Everything marked out. Everything kind of laid out. Simplistically done. That's the kind of guy that I am behind some of this, you see. There's a process. There's an order for things that are out there. If you follow the order, you follow the formula, then you get a result that comes up out the other end, right? Isn't that right, Debbie? You follow the process and you get a result. Huh? Christian life, if you'll get in there and you'll have a process of reading your Bible every day at the same time, in the same place, in the same way, in the same closet, and you'll read X amount of verses and you'll do this and that and the other. If you'll pray before you start, you'll do this, and then you'll pray afterward. God will reveal His will to you in your life, and things will move up and la-da-da-da-da, and the formula moves on. That's how God created me. Artsy guys and gals, floating through life as though they don't have a care in the world. The world is their canvas, and they float in and out, and they're impulsive and responsive and exhilarated at times, and just up and down and all over the map, and they drive me crazy. Not a care in the world. Sit down, get your Bible, get into your closet, do this, dot, 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 and the result will be here. Whatever. I like to do it at night. Sometimes I'll just get up in the middle of the night, and I'll have my quiet time, and just have a great time with God, and this and that and the other. God created that individual that way. This has been a long time coming for some of you, thinking, boy, he's finally getting it. Maybe there'll be somebody else in here today who'll have an epiphany. Huh? And he created me in the other way. And the regeneration, the purpose of that is not to recreate me. In other words, we are to become conformed to the image of Christ once we are regenerated and born again, but we're not to become clones. Isn't that wonderful? So there is, in fact, actually room for the artsy ones in this world. They do, in fact, have a purpose of some kind. And I'm still working to find out what that is. And I'll continue. I'll keep working on that. But God doesn't, when he regenerates and the new birth, listen to me, it's not about us all becoming a clone. It's about us all becoming useful. Becoming useful, just how he's wired us up to be. Man, think about this. Think about this for just a minute. Think about a fellow by the name of Saul. Saul. Persecuting Christians. You want to talk about somebody that was driven. Somebody that was passionate. Somebody that was articulate. Somebody that was a planner, a premeditator. Someone that had it all figured out. This is Saul of Tarsus. Here's a guy that just authentic, raw, straightforward in everything that he was doing. He meets Christ on the road to Damascus. He's regenerated. He's a new creature from that moment forward. He is born again on that day. And guess what he does? He goes on and he becomes passionate and driven and articulate, authentic for the things of God. What changed? Man, his makeup didn't change one iota, but his usefulness did change. And God redirected all of that and moved it down that continuum right there. And man, look at the New Testament. What would it be without that guy? How would we know some of the things that we talk about? Man, I'd have a hard time coming up with a sermon if I didn't have his stuff. Huh? He just changes. He changes our usefulness as we move down through there. Man, God created that personality in the beginning, and he can use that personality and use all those things. Here's what I'm trying to get down to. Man, there's got to be a start. There's got to be a start for this, to be born again. Don't delude yourself. Don't talk to yourself. Don't think yourself something that you're not. Take a look at the test, the litmus test of what's out there to show whether or not you have a new start in your life. Faith. Repentance, obedience, are these the things in your life that are growing you and that are moving you along that continuum? Has there been a radical change in that, in your usefulness towards the things of God? Not just your profession, but is there a radical change in the usefulness in your life? And if there's not, you can't end somewhere over there if you didn't get started back here. Regeneration is vital. And it's all these other things that have little points, arrow points into it, but it's none of those. It's the hinge of the gospel. Being born again is that flip point from lost sinner to saved sinner. And that hinge is God's work. That hinge right there is God's work. That's where God, the supernatural, works in that flip of that hinge right in through there. Once it's flipped, now we can talk about sanctification. Now we can talk about holiness. Now we can talk about methodology and all these different things. We can talk about fruit. We can talk about service. We can talk about right heart and right ways and stuff like that. All of that is meaningless if we haven't had the had regeneration take place. You can act all of that. You can do all of that and not have regeneration. Yeah? So, now we'll take a look at sanctification next week and see if we can work backwards a little bit. See where we're at with that little process right there. If you're not useful to him today, are you regenerate? Are you born again? Don't try to convince me. I'm not the gatekeeper. I'm not the one at the end of this trail that says yes or no to opening that door. Friend, you better get it right. You only got one shot to get it right. You got one life. And I guarantee you this, not a one of you in the room knows when your last breath's going to take place. You don't know, and I don't know. You better get that one right. Because when the end comes, and it always comes a little too soon, doesn't it? It always comes a little sooner than we thought it was going to. You better make sure that it's an end and not a reminder of a bad start. Right? Born again. Regeneration. The new birth. Are you in or are you out? Are you on or are you off? Do you have it or do you not? Check your fruit. That's a telltale sign. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another opportunity for us as a church of the living God to gather together today. Lord, you are wonderful and awesome and magnificent. And Lord, we lift you up to your rightful place today. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're effecting and working. And Lord, for this matter of supernatural matter of regeneration, I praise you. I praise you today. Lord, if there's a way that it could be messed up, we could mess it up. Lord, I'm thankful that we don't have any part in that, that it is your work, supernatural work in the hinge of salvation. Thank you so much, Lord, for the translating work that you do in bringing the new birth about. Now, dear Heavenly Father, I ask you, Father, to help us to check up on ourselves again this morning as we move forward. Lord, we can talk ourselves into a whole bunch of things, but Lord God, we can't talk ourselves into heaven. Lord, that's just not going to happen. And so I pray, God, that we could be brutally and literally honest with ourselves. And Lord, if there be some here this morning that are in that area of not understanding or not knowing, or as an inspector, not seeing the fruit that ought to be there, I pray, dear God, that we'd just go ahead and get those things settled. Lord, just have your way, if you will, this morning. There are some here this morning that are just tickled to death and thankful for what you've done in the new birth. Lord, help them to exalt your name and to be excited about what's happened in their life. There are those here this morning that are just begun in this walk, that have just started in a regenerate walk. I pray, God, that you'd help in that matter of faith and repentance and obedience. And Lord, move them along the continuum. And then, Father, there's some here this morning, I can't help but believe, that have walked this way and acted this way so long without that fresh start that, Lord, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to make an admission. And Lord, I just pray for your conviction. I pray, dear God, for your spirit to move and stir in those lives one more time, Lord, to bring folks to that place of surrender. Now, Father, I commit it to you and pray it in Jesus' name and amen.